This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
So you don't know the Locks and you don't know Dipset? Come on, Dave. No. You got two boys.
They were going through all the rappers. They're like, you think this is a rapper? It's a name we made up. So they know all of them. I said to them, I was like, I know everybody. I'm familiar with everyone. Like, all right, Dad, you ever hear of this guy, of this guy, of this guy? Like, you made that up. And then they morphed into a game of, is this a rapper or did we make this up? Some of the names are the rappers, by the way. They're just dreadful.
Little Nas X, Little Uzi.
I'm with everybody's you little.
This DCR.
Is there nobody over 6 feet that's a rapper? Why is everybody so small?
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, I know my rappers, Chris.
I'm impressed. Surprised the hell out of me that you were able to pull one.
I got some
but I'm impressed.
Chris. So Santiago says to me, and Santiago clearly I don't think likes me all that much. Like you are his favorite on the show, followed by Rick, followed by me in a distant third. And he said, I'm impressed. He goes, I got to be honest, I'm impressed. And I said, I think there was another song he did that I'm familiar with, Death Wish. Was that him as well? And he's like, he was floored at this point now.
Yeah, I mean, we're not expecting you to be able to pull that rabbit out of your hat, Dave. I mean, we just kind of assumed that you really wouldn't know a whole lot about him because we talked about the Locks versus Dipset, and you were like, don't have a clue. That surprised me.
Well, I did know that Jadakiss is in he's in the Locks, right?
Yes, that is correct.
So, yeah, but not a lot. Like, it's not a strength. It's not like asking where a guy went to college. I'll tell you that.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. But you got enough. You're passable, Dave. I mean, like you earned some street cred while being able to come up with that answer. No
I know
question.
The baby's been in the news.
Not in a good way, though.
No,
scratched from the music festival on. On Governor's Island. That's not good.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not good news for anybody.
Can't stand for that kind of stuff, but yeah.
No.
Look at you, keeping up with pop culture and music.
Listen, I have to. I'm a man that people look to as a source of knowledge, and if I didn't know of DaBaby or Fetty
Wap,
I'm
a baby.
Or, you're a baby. Or Nas or any of these guys, I mean, you know what? I'm not practicing what I preach, where I'm not well-rounded at that point.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, you're proving to the folks that you know a little bit about what's going on in the streets. I like it.
Everybody's little. Isn't nobody over 6 feet that's a rapper?
That's hilarious, by the way.
It's true,
that's
though.
That's hilarious. What?
How come everyone's little? Being serious, do we have an answer for that?
No, we have no answer for it. It's little this and baby that. We have no answer.
Lil' Kim is little.
Well,
that is
little
true.
Little
Kim is small. What'd you say?
Everyone's either Lil or a baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you would fit right in. What would your rap name be?
I don't know. I like
Lil Roth and Baby? Lil Roth and
Blachowicz.
Baby?
No. Jan Blachowicz. Maybe I'd be Lil Blachowicz.
Lil Blachowicz. That's perfect. That's perfect.
And welcome
in the house.
Oh
my gosh, Dave, you're crazy, man.
Lil Blachowicz.
Lil Blachowicz. That's perfect.
Or Baby Blachowicz. I'm the talent.
Get a little teardrop tattoo from your eye.
There is zero chance I would burgle a house.
That's right.
I would never. All right. So we got we have two teams now between the Mets and the Yankees, Chris, that are heading in polar opposite directions. And I'm being serious when I say this, and I don't like it. I don't think you can feel much better about the Yankees right now. Granted, you know, COVID has now become a factor for them, but the schedule is not daunting. They're playing better baseball. They added the talent. I mean, the Yankees are, and I heard Kay say it yesterday, I think he's right, they're going to get in, right? Whether it's the one wild card, the second wild card, they're going to get in. The Mets right now feels like they are, you know, taking on water every single second, Chris, and that is absolutely falling apart at the moment. Do you agree that it feels like you have two teams heading in complete polar opposite directions at the moment?
It sure does feel that way, Dave. Now, if you would have asked me this yesterday, I would have kind of scratched my head because I didn't like the loss that the Yankees had after they built up so much goodwill going on that road trip and beating the Rays in a series and beating the Marlins. But, I mean, right now, when you look at the Yankees, they're two games back of that second wild card behind Oakland. And there's no reason to think that with this group as constituted that they can't play catch up over the course of the next couple of months of the regular season. So I feel good about where they're at. They still got some issues in terms of being consistent with manufacturing offense. But, I mean, the fact that we're here coupled with the additions that Brian Cashman made at the trade deadline, I feel good about the direction that they're pointed in. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Last night was good. I mean, you got Heal coming out there and giving you six scoreless innings, completely unexpected. Like, that was a huge surprise because we thought coming off of the show yesterday that Cortez was going to be making that start. That turned out not to be the case. So the fact that you did get that contribution from Heal, the fact that you did have seven extra base hits, and on the night after the Yankees went 0-for with runners in scoring position, they were 7-13. So, I mean, that's the kind of performance that you expect for them to have against the Orioles. And, I mean, the way that they kind of went to work in that third inning, I hope that they can kind of build on that performance, and that's a sign of things to come for the offense.
Yeah, well, it certainly felt like it. And now tonight, I mean, you get Mr. Consistency. And it wasn't like that early in the season, but Jameson Taillon is on the mound tonight. And I went on vacation, and there were some that questioned whether or not I would pay attention. But as I was on vacation, I think that he won American League Pitcher of the month of July. Is that correct?
That is correct, Dave. That is correct. So, he's been good.
Yeah, he's been terrific. He really has been. So, I mean, if you are a fan of the Yankees, what's the negative now? Outside of you're not going to have, you know, Cole or Montgomery.
Yeah, that's the thing. The starting pitching being the question mark. Like, after Taillon, what are you going to do for those first two games against the Mariners? Who's going to be your starter? Like, that's kind of in flux right now. So, I mean, they got to figure that part of it out. But, I mean, it feels like the lineup is trying to turn it on. They're trying to score runs consistently. But, I mean, this team has been finding a way to stack series wins, and it feels like we're in line for be able to stack our third in a row. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully they can win the rubber match tonight, and then we'll see what happens with Seattle. But I'll say this, Dave. These four series, the Marlins series, the Orioles series, mm-hmm. the Mariners, the Royals, I mean, this is the part of the schedule that's soft where you got to start stacking series wins. So the Yankees are well on their way to doing that. Let's just hope that they continue to do that because, I mean, after that, it gets a little bit tougher with the White Sox and the Red Sox. So
sure, it does. Red Sox not been playing great either, but Chris Sale on the verge of getting back into that lineup, and then Schwarber's mm-hmm. going to come back at some point in the not-so-distant future. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear hotline. So is your thought, like, are you resigned to second wild card, Chris, or are you thinking bigger than that right now?
No, I don't think I can think bigger than that, Dave, because I've said it before and I'll say it again. You can't trust this Yankees team. But I do feel like we're in striking distance of the wild card. It is reasonable to think that they'll be able to get that. I mean, but being six games back in the division lead in Tampa Bay Rays in the pole position, I don't feel good about them being able to catch the Rays. I don't.
So you think the second wild card. So we're looking at a road game, Gerrit Cole on the mound, say, in Boston against
– in Fenway.
Against Eovaldi or Chris Sale. Like, that's what you're looking at.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, from your standpoint, that would be nervous time. From a baseball standpoint, that would be sensational.
Oh, it'd be great, right?
Right?
That'd be great. The winner of that gets into a real playoff series. That would be awesome for baseball. That really would be. And, I mean, as a Yankees fan, you know that – that's going to be a daunting task, but to be able to get into a real playoff series and on your way to doing it, being able to put out your division rival, like a part of me would feel pretty good about that. So, I mean, it seems like that's what we're in line for. That's what it's shaping up to be. We'll see how the rest of the season plays out. But, yeah, I feel better about the Yankees being able to make the playoffs. I do, Dave.
Bro, I think that they're going to, at a minimum, get that second wild card. And, listen, you never know. Still seven games back, so it is a big number with less than 2 months to play. But you never really know. So have you adjusted, like what you need to see from the Yankees this year? Do they need to get to the World Series? Do they need to get to the American League Championship Series? Like, is there that line in the sand where you say – they have to get here or it's been a failure?
Well, Dave, here's the thing. I haven't even allowed myself to think that far ahead just because it's been such an uphill climb for this team. Like, I mean, we talked about how the Mets players have not performed up to expectations. I mean, you can make that same case for the Yankees, too. I mean, the only part of the team that has exceeded the expectations has been the starting pitching. Everybody else is underwhelmed. I mean, the bullpen, I mean, it's had its moments, but you also seen spots where they gave up the ghost. I mean, they blew the game against the Angels. They blew that series finale against Houston before the All-Star break. I mean, absolute collapses. So, I mean, the only part of the team that has exceeded the expectations has been the starting pitching. So, yeah, I'm not allowing myself to think that far ahead in terms of what they got to do once they get to the postseason. I just got fingers crossed that they get to the playoffs.
You're so mature. You're like an adult. Like I'm like a somewhat functional baby. Like my team wins four in a row or five out of seven. All of a sudden, like I start thinking, yeah, like delusions of grandeur, and it's going to change, and here we go, and I start thinking about, you know, what's happening down the road, and can we get here, and can we win a World
Series? Like that kind of party.
Yeah, I like that kind of party, and you are just you're so measured, and you say, you know what? It's been a substandard season, and my goal is to just get in at the second wild card, and I can't even think beyond that. It's like you're the parent of the show. And I mean that respectfully. Like you're so mature. I wish I was more like that.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, Dave. Here's the thing, man. I mean, with the baseball season, it's so long. Like you just kind of got to go through it. And I get what you're saying. Like you're a passionate fan. You kind of live and die with every single game. I guess I just look at this Yankees team, and they've kind of beaten that part of it out of me. Like I've gotten to the point now. It's like, all right, I'll see it when I believe it. Now the fact that they've done what they've done over the last couple of series. It's made me pay attention to what's going on, and maybe there's a chance. There is a glimmer of hope. Brian Cashman being aggressive at the trade deadline makes you feel good about what they could potentially do. But until they go out there and give you the results, it's just potential. So, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. But for a team that has a $200-plus million payroll, I mean, the expectation shouldn't just be getting to the wild card.
Oh, I agree with that. I couldn't agree with you more on that. But, I mean, you're 4 months into a season, and listen, don't get me wrong. I think you're optimistic how the last, you know, 7 weeks is going to go. But this has been a horrendous first 4 months for the Yankees. And no one – I mean, their run differential is minus, right?
Yeah. Yeah, Dave, it's not good. I mean, it's not good. It hasn't been good. But, I mean, there's still a chance to be able to salvage the season, and we'll see where we're at once we get to the end of it. If they do, in fact, get into the wild card game and they're in a real playoff series, I mean – there's no telling what could happen once you get into the tournament. That's what Bill Parcells used to always say. Just get in the tournament, and then we'll see what happens. That's kind of my approach with this Yankees team based on what I've seen for the first few months of the year.
Let's go to Spike in St. Pete. I've missed him terribly, and say good morning to Spike. How are you?
I'm fine. I missed you also. And the ship was not off course. But it's a perfect straight line with you back. So glad to have you back.
As much as I missed you, Spike, I heard something that upset me greatly, to be frank with you. Last time I talked to you, I said, who's your guy, me or Carlin? And you said me. And then I'm told that you called Carlin after that, and I guess he said, well, why'd you choose Dave? And you said, he's just more needy than you are, Chris, so that's why I chose him. True or not true? I want an answer.
That's absolutely true. But I didn't pull back that you are the best. I said it's very. See, we're going through this neediness again. It was close.
You know what? I don't want you to give me the answer I want to hear. I want you to give me the truth. Who do you look at as the better host? Feelings aside, that's all I'm looking for, Spike.
If I was on an island stranded and had the choice to listen to one person and
I'm
one
on the
person
ship,
Omar. Only,
I'm on the ship. Go ahead.
It would be you.
All right.
You
so
are
then don't
the best host on the station.
Then it has nothing to do with neediness.
No, wait a minute. I said when something's very, very close, like Ali Dahl and Affirmed or the Chads in Miami during the election, it's very tight. There's nothing wrong with being first or second. That's all I'm saying to you. Sometimes you have Garrick and Ruth. Who's better? That's all. He's the Garrick.
I don't like what you're doing. All I'm looking for is you to give me an answer. And if you choose Carlin,
and
I can be a big boy and I can deal with
you
that.
But I don't
want to hear that you chose me because I'm needy if, in fact, you think that I'm not the best. So just give me an answer, and I don't want excuses, Spike.
You are the best host on 98.7, unequivocally.
I didn't know that's a word, but I'll take it.
I just got on and said the ship was not off course, but it's a perfectly straight line right now. And by the way, everybody is terrific on the station. Some are just a little better than others. That's all.
You don't believe that.
You know, you wear different clothes.
There's no way that you love everyone at the station. Stop it.
I can't. We're not getting anywhere. I just wanted to let you know this Saturday is my third anniversary of pulling out a stump for Ruthenberg with a record, a great record of 0-19. So I pulled, remember when I said I had it with this? I can't beat you, so I'm leaving that alone. Let me just make one point before you get back on this. You're going to leave me this to my dying breath, you're going to ask me, but that's why I love you. You had a great vacation. The boys enjoyed it. Sherry enjoyed it.
Great vacation, yes.
Okay, that's all I need. I see you came back the same way you left, which is wonderful. Here's my question. I agree with Chris. The Yankees, they're going to get into the wild card most likely. I think the problem with the Yankees is the bullpen. The American League has seen the same pitchers now for 3 or 4 years, these relief pitchers. And this team where I live, Tampa Bay happens to be in St. Petersburg, the stadium, they're brutal. I don't even know half the guys on the team, and they keep bringing up new guys, and they've just got a bottom that's endless, endless pit. Lastly, on the Mets. I'm concerned about the Mets. I don't know what the hell they're doing with Conforto, but here's a guy in his walk year that's really spitting the bit, as George would say. Do you agree?
He's not hitting 200. I don't know how he could not agree with you. Yes. I mean, he's awful. They didn't pinch hit him in a big spot the other night. He got benched the other night. He's getting booed at home. This is not Lindor, where it's 6 weeks into the season. Chris, we are 4 months into the season. We're well past halfway. And Conforto, he's almost unplayable, is what he – if he was not Michael Conforto, if he was not a guy that's a free agent, if he was not a household name, he would not be playing for this team right now.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it, Dave. And, I mean, the time is up in terms of using the injury that he had in the first half as an excuse as to why he's not producing. I mean, the fact is the guy isn't helping you in terms of providing the punch that you expected him to in that offense. And so right now you're searching for guys that can find ways to contribute. You got to find ways to be able to manufacture runs. The Mets aren't doing that as a whole, and Michael Conforto is contributing to the problem and not a part of the solution, or it doesn't at least seem like he's going to be a part of the solution anytime soon. The guy is lost. So, I mean, it's just – This is a tough spot that the Mets are in, and I feel bad for Conforto because this is his walk year. I mean, he's costing himself a whole lot of money, as you mentioned earlier. I mean, but this is a big part of your team that's not producing at all.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to be filling in on the K Show for the entire week from 2 to 6:30. We do 3 hours on this show. They do 4.5 on their show. Do you worry about all of us fading from 5 o'clock on?
No, I don't worry about it, Dave, and let me tell you why. We'll actually have a chance to get a solid night's sleep.
That's true.
Before we do the K Show. I mean, usually we're operating off of 3 or 4 hours of sleep. Now we'll be able to come in well-rested, fired up, ready to go. So, no, I don't think we'll have a problem doing a 4.5 hours. I just don't.
You're right. And then we have ENN in that last half hour.
ENN be in RJ? Well, I guess RJ won't be
RJ's
on the show,
not coming with us.
Yeah, RJ. Yeah, that's the thing. So who's going to do ENN for us?
I guess Gundling.
Gundling's going to do ENN?
You know who it should be? It should be Rick.
Rick should do ENN?
It's not fair.
Because I think he'd be great at it, but I can hear – he's not even with us today, and I can actually hear him complaining.
I'm your big daddy, and I want to be referred to as such.
I don't know if I'd have a problem with that. The question is, how would Peter Rosenberg feel about it?
With Rick doing it?
Yes.
I think Rick would be great at it.
Did everyone do that?
Right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I know, but maybe Rosenberg might feel like Ricky is infringing on his territory a little
bit. Well, then you know what? Rosenberg could not take vacation.
Wow, okay.
I'll give it to you whenever you want.
I see what you did right there. I got you.
Right? I mean,
simple
Wally
solution. Simple solution.
Could be a Wally Pipp situation where maybe Rick is so good at ENN that it becomes a Rick vehicle. You know, Kay would fight for that.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's exactly what Michael wants. Yeah. You know, that's what they're trying to. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to get into that. I don't want to start that, Dave, because you know how that conversation always leads to how
and
that
it
conversation
makes everyone
always
uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Let's
and
not even go there.
Modern problems require modern solutions.
Let's
but we're. But we're taking our talents to the afternoon, Dave. Yes. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we'll be well-rested, 2 to 6:30. And we're going to be on TV.
Hey, are you ready for that? Big TV stars, too.
No, I'm not ready.
You're not?
I will be next week, but I'm not now.
Not right now?
But I will be.
Now, are you going to go with the makeup? Or are you going to put any powder on? Or
I don't see that happening, no.
Yeah, I don't either.
No, I'm going to go all natural.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. Let's go to Rob in Farmingdale. Good morning, Rob. You're on 98.7.
Good morning. Just wanted to quickly talk about the Mets and kind of what's been going on, right?
Yeah.
So
go ahead. Have at it.
Walker, since the All-Star break, our pitching has been not great, right? Stroman, who was one time doing really well, has kind of been mediocre. And then you got Walker, who's just been atrocious since the All-Star break. What, he let up 4 runs in 6 innings last night, 6 runs in 3 innings the other night? It's just not going good. And then on top of it, right now, it was always an issue, but right now it's being magnified times 1,000. We're not driving runs in.
But they haven't all year, Rob.
I mean, no, it's
been
right
an issue. The problem was it got masked, right? Their pitching was so good that when they're scoring 3 or maybe 4 runs on a good day, Chris, they'd allow 1 or 2, and they would win these games. Now the starting pitching has taken a step back, and the offense is the same dreadful thing it's been all year long.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, it's the starting pitching that's kind of buoyed the team, and the offense has been subpar all year. And now that the starting pitching is faltering, like some of the lack of production, some of the things going on the offensive end are starting to get highlighted. Like, it's just like, why can't the Mets score any runs? Like, that becomes the big question. Like, you know what I mean? Why can't they give you more than 4 or 5 runs in a game when you're trying to be able to stack series wins? Like, that's got to be a huge concern moving forward. And quite frankly, Dave, I don't have the answer, because these are the names that we expected to be in the Mets lineup at the beginning of the year, save Francisco Lindor. He's the only one that's been out, and it's not like he's been ripping the cover off.
But you got Javi Baez, who you'd say is you know, the equivalent.
Exactly. You got Javi Baez. You got Dom Smith. You got Pete Alonso. You got Jeff McNeil. You got Brandon Nimmo back. Like, I don't understand why you're not able to score more runs more consistently. It just doesn't make sense to me. It's one of those things that remains a mystery. But I will tell you this. If the Mets are going to stay at the top of the NL East, then offense better figure it out, because the starting pitching is going to be dealing with stuff for the rest of the year. I'm just going to accept that as fact, as gospel. It's about the offense being able to step up and being able to hold the team afloat until you can kind of get that part of your team shored up.
Yeah, you say, why has this happened? I think because the guys that you've relied on, Nimmo has been a plus player, right? He's done more than you've expected, but he's also been hurt for a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Alonso has been what you've expected. And other than that, I mean, I thought McNeil would be better. But Lindor, I'm going to be honest with you, I thought he would be better offensively. Dom Smith has disappointed me. Davis is hurt for the bulk of the season. Mm-hmm. Conforto has been the poster boy for what's went wrong. So, you know, we talked about in the first half, Chris, the Pilars and the VRs and the Peraza's of the world who were good and were nice stories. But at the end of the day, and everyone knows this, you need your guys to step up. And for the most part, the guys, the offensive weapons that the Mets have not stepped up and not produced for them this season.
Yeah, Dave, but I mean, at what point is that going to happen? I mean, they have the phrase, look at the back of the baseball card for a reason. Like, over 162, the law of averages is supposed to play out. Like, those guys are supposed to be able to produce. And yet, we're sitting here in the month of August, and it hadn't happened yet. So, I mean, my question to you as a Mets fan is, like, when the hell is it going to happen? If you're not going to do it now, when you're barely clinging to a division lead, I mean, knowing that that's your only hope of being able to get into the postseason, because you're not going to get a wild card, like, if you're not doing it now, when is it going to happen? They need 4 to happen.
I don't know that it does. I don't know that it does. And B, I don't know how you could expect it. Like, I'm almost at the point where, and this is pathetic, I'm kind of resigned to the fact that I don't think they're going to win this division.
So Dave, how much of a disappointment, how much of a failed season would
failed.
It be?
Failed. If they don't
the
make the playoffs,
don't get to the
Chris,
playoffs.
Oh, huge. An F on the season. An F. I don't want to hear excuses for injuries. I don't want to hear the DeGrom, whatever. I mean, an F, because you knew it. And I go back to that consistently. You knew last Friday that he was going to miss extended time, and you did nothing about it. You had star pitchers thrown all around the league. You did nothing. You have an owner that said, I'm going to open the checkbook. If I want to go past the luxury tax, I'll blow past the luxury tax. And you did nothing. Your big pitching acquisition at the deadline was Rich Hill. Mm. How is that okay, knowing that DeGrom is not right? So if they do not make the playoffs, an F this year. A huge F.
And what makes that even more disgusting, Dave, is when you look at the landscape of your division. I mean, you talked about it earlier. You said this is the 2021 version of the 2020 NFC East.
It is.
Like, that's what this is. And so if you can't win your division in the NL East this season and get to the playoffs and try to take advantage of having what would be probably the best 1-2-3 punch with your starting pitchers in the playoffs, like, it's a massive disappointment.
Massive. Not even a disappointment. I think that's an understatement.
Failed season.
Now, yeah. And I will say this. If Atlanta won 98 games and Philly won 96 and you won 92 and you didn't get in, I would not look at it as a massive disappointment.
Yeah, but those teams are not going to come anywhere
those
close to that.
Those teams stink also.
They're awful.
I mean, they stink. And the fact is that you're barely able to stay ahead of them. It's an embarrassment.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I think it's fair to say we adore the list, especially none more than the NFL. You'd agree with that, yes?
Yes, no question about it, Dave.
Now, RJ sent us one, but I also stumbled upon one. So we could do both of these quickly, and then we can get to some of the calls, and then we have to get NBA. I mean, we have a lot to do. And that's fine because we're two guys that can handle a lot. All right, so Mike Clay, who's an analytics, fantasy, just really bright guy, ESPN writer, okay? He put together the most improved teams in the NFL from last season to this. Now, he says considerations for the list include free agent signings, trade acquisitions, draft selections, long-term injuries, retirements, and returns from the 2020 COVID opt-out list.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care to take a stab at some of the top teams on the list?
I would have to say the Jets have got to be at the top of that list, Dave.
Oh, they're right there. The Jets, number two. Big additions. Carl Lawson, Corey Davis, Morgan Moses, Zach Wilson, Elijah Vera Tucker, Elijah Moore, LaMarcus Joyner, Sheldon Rankins, Tevin Coleman, and C.J. Mosley. The analysis from one Mike Clay, edge rusher, wide receiver, offensive line, and, of course, quarterback have all been problem areas for the Jets for years. The new regime addressed all four, adding an impact edge rusher in Lawson. And then he goes on, blah, 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 blah. Six of the team's top 10 defenders in terms of 2020 snaps have departed, but the unit, especially with Mosley back, looks much better on paper. Jets, number two.
That's got to be music to Jets fans' ears. Now, the question is, who's the number one on the list? I mean,
well, it's a team that got a lot of help in the top of the draft. A lot of help.
The Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, number one. Yeah. Lawrence, Etienne, Tyson Campbell, Shaq Griffin, Marvin Jones. They added a lot. Added Urban Meyer as well to the mix. So they're number one. I'm not going to ask you for the whole list, but a couple. Any others you'd like to throw out there that you think could be top of mind?
The New England Patriots have to be up there with all that they did in free agency and in drafting Mac Jones, number 15 overall. Like, they've got to be up there, too.
Well, they are up there. They're big additions. They're number five, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. They've added two big-time tight ends. Kyle Van Noy is back, Trent Brown, Mac Jones. You know, the list goes on and on and on. Matt Judon, Aguilar, Jalen Mills. So, yes, the Patriots are five. Anybody else?
Where's our New York Football Giants,
they're
Dave?
Up there.
I mean, they added a lot of pieces this offseason, too.
The Giants are number seven on the list. Kenny Golladay, Adoree Jackson, Rudolph, Tony Ojulari, Danny Shelton, Nate Solder comes back as well. So, yeah, Giants number seven. Clay writes, it's a big year for fourth-year GM Dave Gettleman, which we discussed earlier, and it's fair to say that he had a respectable offseason. He added help for Daniel Jones in the form of Galladay, Rudolph, Tony, John Ross, while adding Jackson as a running mate for James Bradbury, which gives New York one of the best corner duos in the entire league. He says losing Tomlinson, Dalvin Tomlinson left, isn't as bad when you consider the team is still strong up front on defense with Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence. Though Zeitler's departure raises yet another concern along the offensive line, the Giants are better, but not good enough to carry shaky quarterback play, so Jones will need a big leap in his all-important year three. Anything else that you'd like to know? You want me to tell you three and four? Three is Washington.
Okay.
With what they added. Four, Minnesota.
Minnesota. So
yeah.
That's interesting.
Right? They had Dalvin Tomlinson, Patrick Peterson, Sheldon Richardson, Mackenzie Alexander, Breland, Christian Darrisaw, Xavier Woods, and Michael Pierce.
Okay.
Into the mix. Gotcha. And then I think
it's where's Arizona at, Dave? Because Arizona had a sneaky big offseason, too. Sneaky
Arizona.
Big offseason.
I see what you've done here. You've given me a team that now I have to search for. I like where your head is at. All right, Arizona number nine.
Okay.
J.J. Watt, Rodney Hudson, good additions there. Malcolm Butler, A.J. Green. Oof.
That's what I'm saying. That's a big addition.
Right? Zaven Collins, Rondale Moore. Oh, I love Rondale Moore. James Conner, Matt Prater. Yeah, they really did add quite a few pieces. Did lose Patrick Peterson as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, added a lot. So Arizona number nine. Let me give you the worst. 32. Any guess at 32? I don't think it'll surprise you.
32.
I'm gonna say this, and I think it'll lead you there. Offensive line.
Oh, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Steelers. See, we're so simpatico. Yeah.
Yeah, Pittsburgh. Yeah. I mean that offensive line is atrocious. I think they lost four to five starters from last year. Yeah, that offensive line is going to be a problem, and that's not exactly what you're looking for when you have an aging quarterback that has diminishing arm talent. Yep. Not what you want.
Not even a little bit. Number 31 is the Saints, and 30 is the Houston Texans. So there's a little look at what we have, and we talk football, and we talk Jets, and all of a sudden, Ira in Staten Island pops up. Good morning, Ira. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Dave. I know you had a good vacation. Hey, Chris, what's happening? And, that list is pretty accurate. Listen, you know, what goes on in camp and what goes on and equates to wins and losses, you have to wait and see how it's determined. But the Jets have entered the 21st century when it comes to skill position players. You know, I've watched these guys. And, you know, every practice, it's the same names. And Michael Carter, both Michael Carters, are the defensive back and the running back, Elijah Moore, Crowder. You know, Wilson has a big learning curve, but you could just see the talent. But, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, a lot of people call up when players dispute contracts, they want more money. And I think, Chris, you know, you played, so you'll understand me. You know, it's one thing to watch a player get hurt on television. It's another thing when you're in the stadium. But I was up close yesterday when Cameron Clark went down. And the emotion that I felt from the players that surrounded him and were praying, it really, really hit home. And you know what? In the blink of the eye, I mean, in normal life, anything can change. But to watch, you know, a world-class athlete just crumble to the ground and not move, it kind of shakes you up. And thank God, you know what? However this camp ends up, thank God he's okay, because the results last night, the reports, it sounded like he's going to be okay.
No, I mean, it drives home the point that football is a violent sport, Ira. I mean, you're absolutely right. But I think one of the things that comes out of this is that you realize your head coach has the kind of awareness that today's player, you know, resonates with. Like, that's something that means something. For Rob Saleh to have the kind of empathy that he showed yesterday after that injury, to call up practice after that, knowing that the guys weren't in the right headspace. Like, to me, like, you have to have the pulse of the team if you're going to be a successful coach in today's NFL, just because of how today's athletes are wired. And so, I mean, that will be, you know, outside of Cameron Clark being healthy and expected to make a recovery, like, that will be the biggest takeaway that I have from that incident. But, again, no doubt it's one of those scary moments that reminds you that football is a dangerous sport.
Oh, it is a dangerous sport, and it's a violent, violent sport. All right, so RJ – has found this little ditty. NFL Nation posts 32 training camp predictions that will happen, I guess, before the season actually starts. Can I get the music? I mean, I only want to do the list really for the music. Yeah. All right, so there we go. Bold training camp predictions for all 32 teams. It includes surprise cuts, trades, and rookies who will play early. I'm going to run through them, and then if there's anything you need to react off of, Chris, have at it. The Bills.
All right.
Josh Allen signs a massive extension before the regular season begins. I'm going
to
go.
All right, I got to react off the top of that, Dave. I mean, I'm all in on Josh Allen. He's my candidate to win MVP this year. Like, I mean, just the step that he made from year two to year three, like, I mean, there's no reason to think that he's not going to be able to build on that success with his offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll, coming back. They added Emmanuel Sanders to play alongside Steph Diggs. Like, I just feel like Josh Allen's going to continue to get better. He should be the starting quarterback for the New York Giants, but we don't have to
Don't go there. Dolphins, Albert Wilson will become a big factor in the Dolphins' offense this year. Patriots, Sony Michel will be traded to a running back needy team. Jets, I see no way this isn't true. Four rookies will start on offense week one for the Jets.
Yeah, I don't know how this is a bold take, Dave. Yeah. I mean, Zach Wilson was the starter the moment the Jets traded away Sam Darnold. I mean, you traded up for Elijah Vera Tucker because you realized your offensive line was a huge work in progress. I mean, what we heard about Eli Moore and Michael Carter, like, those two are trending to be starters on offense. So, yeah, I'm with you. I would be surprised if you don't have four rookies starting on offense.
So you feel a way about Rich Cimini. You think he took the easy way out here with this bold prediction.
Yeah, that's one of those that's a base hit. He's not swinging for the fences.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. AFC North, the Ravens will not reach an extension with Lamar Jackson before the regular season. Bengals, Jackson Carmen will start week one. Browns, Demetric Felton will win the job as the return man. Steelers, this is interesting. Dwayne Haskins will get more reps as the number two quarterback than Mason Rudolph for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, that's not surprising to me, Dave. I think the Steelers are kind of out on Mason Rudolph. I don't think that he showed when he was called into duty the kind of promise that they expected when they drafted him with the third-round pick several years back. So, yeah, I think Dwayne Haskins will get a look. Physically, there's no question who's the more talented of the two. So I think that they'll find a way to give him opportunities. But, yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, I'm not surprised either, but interesting. Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson will not be traded before the end of training camp. I don't think anybody expects him to be traded at this point. Colts, Frank Reich will be reunited with quarterback Nick Foles. Interesting to see. Jaguars.
That can't happen, right, Dave? Like, that can't happen. Like, for Carson Wentz's psyche and the relationship that he's got with Frank Reich, that completely gets undermined if you bring in Nick Foles. I mean, Nick Foles was a part of why Carson Wentz couldn't get out of his own head at the end in Philly. They got a statue of Nick Foles out in front of the stadium. There's no way you can let Nick Foles follow Carson Wentz to Indy, right?
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. It doesn't make sense psyche-wise, but football-wise, it makes sense. I mean, you can't go with Eason as your starting quarterback, I wouldn't think, for the season. So, if not Foles, do you reach back out to Phillip Rivers and have him come in until Carson Wentz is healthy? I don't know, but I'm not sticking with Jacob Eason. Have you seen the start of the schedule for the Colts?
Yeah, there's no way you can roll with Jacob Eason.
No.
I don't trust that, yeah. But you can't bring Nick Foles in there.
I just can't agree with that. How about this for the Jaguars? Tim Tebow will make the roster as a tight end with Jacksonville.
I believe it when I see it, Dave. I mean, if he actually ends up sticking with that team, he would have done a hell of a job in terms of getting ready and going through a position change. Only thing I would ask is, why the hell didn't he do it so much sooner in his athletic career? Because, I mean, he could have made a name for himself as a tight end in the NFL.
Yeah, he refused to. He absolutely refused to. Titans. The Titans will bring back kicker Steven Guskowski. Nobody cares about that. AFC West. The Broncos will choose the safest quarterback. What does that mean?
That means they're going to start Teddy Bridgewater.
Really?
I mean, you got a defensive-minded head coach. Defense is the strength of that team. What you need is a quarterback that's not going to throw the ball to the other team. That screams Teddy Bridgewater over Drew Lock. Although Vic Fangio will swear that the composition is dead even right now.
I mean, if you start Bridgewater over Drew Lock, then Drew Lock will never wind up being the quarterback in Denver, in my estimation. Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs will win. Two rookies will win starting offensive line spots with the Chiefs. Raiders, The Raiders will install a package for backup quarterback Marcus Mariota. Interesting. Chargers, Jared Cook will become one of Justin Herbert's most trusted pass catchers. To the NFC we go, Chris. To the NFC, starting with the East. The Cowboys will not add a veteran backup quarterback. In fact, Todd Archer believes they'll go with Garrett Gilbert as their number two QB. Giants will sign a top veteran edge rusher. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Renan says might be Trent Murphy, Adrian Claiborne, whoever else is healthy out there and waiting for the call. But he expects a top veteran edge rusher added to the mix here for the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, that's not exactly what you want to hear from Jordan. I understand why he's putting that out there, but, I mean, edge rush is one of the concerns that you have for this team. That's why everybody was excited when they drafted Azeez Ojulari in the second round. He's a guy that had first-round potential. So, I mean, this is one of those areas of the team that you're always going to be taking a look at just because you feel like it could be a glaring weakness. But, I mean, otherwise, your defense is solid. So, I mean, We'll see what ends up happening. But, yeah, this is not what you want to hear at the start of training camp from Jordan. Not at all.
Eagles, Zach Ertz, his wish to be traded will finally get granted. He will not be on the roster week one. That's according to Tim McManus.
Mm-hmm.
Dyami Brown will be Washington's most productive rookie, third-round receiver. NFC North, Andy Dalton, this is interesting, will outplay Justin Fields in the quarterback competition with the Bears.
Yeah, I'm not buying that. I thought Dan Orlovsky made a great point on NFL Live yesterday. He said, just because you're the more experienced player doesn't mean you're the better player. And I feel like that applies with Justin Fields. I mean, from a physical talent standpoint, there is no competition. The only reason in my mind Justin Fields wouldn't be the starter is because Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears don't feel comfortable with the supporting cast around him, and they don't want to ruin the kid's development. But, I mean, from a sheer talent standpoint, there's no question who presents the better chance for the Chicago Bears to win games.
All I know and care about with the Bears is I hope Fields gets the job. I hope he's phenomenal, and I hope they go 1-15 this season.
You want that pick to be really, really high.
I want that to be a top five.
Could you imagine that if the Giants have a top five pick from the Chicago Bears next year?
It never happens to the Giants.
And Daniel Jones proves to be the franchise quarterback.
Could you imagine?
Think about the position that puts you in, Dave.
Yes. Could you imagine if you have a top five pick, you have your pick in the mid 20s? You know, God willing. And then you have, like, the fourth overall selection. You'd be living the good life. That would be great. The Lions. David Blau will win the number two quarterback job. Nobody cares about that. Packers.
No.
Defensive players will fall in love with Joe Barry. All right. Vikings. First-round pick Christian Darrisaw will not be the week one starter at left tackle. That's newsworthy.
That's a little strange. Yeah.
Falcons. Quadri Olison will carve out a role on the offense. Panthers, Taylor Moten will win the left tackle job. We continue through the NFC. Saints, Jameis Winston will be named the Saints week one starter. Is that a bold prediction? That's what I expect, no?
No, I'm with you on that one. I expect that too. Taysom Hill is more of a gadget guy.
This is the last thing anybody wants to hear that roots against Tom Brady and Tampa. Tight end Tanner Hudson will have a breakout season.
They're just coming up with more guys that could be weapons on that offense, man. It's crazy.
Hudson, a former undrafted free agent out of Memphis, played only 69 offensive snaps last season, catching 3 passes for 41 yards. Can you imagine that? Evans, Antonio Brown, Godwin, Gronk, O.J. Howard, Cam Brate, and this guy, Tanner Hudson, you know, makes a name for himself. Cardinals, then this is it. Andy Isabella will not make the roster. Rams, undrafted free agent Xavier Jones will earn the number two running back spot. Mm-hmm. Niners, Elijah Mitchell will carve out a role in the offense. And Seahawks, Penny Hart will win the number three receiver job. So that is bold predictions from the beat reporters around the NFL. I love it.
I mean, if you wanted to make a bold prediction about the 49ers, why not Trey Lance being your week one starter? How about that? I mean, all the chatter coming out there from San Francisco now is that, like, this is a real quarterback competition. I don't know, man.
I got to figure if it's that close that you would go with Lance, no?
No, you have to, Dave. I mean, the kid's your future. You didn't trade away 3 first-round picks for no reason. You clearly thought you could upgrade from the position. I think people need to stop this. Well, the only reason that they went after a quarterback is because Jimmy's always hurt. No, Jimmy's always hurt, and I think Kyle Shanahan sees an opportunity to upgrade the production that he's getting at quarterback.
Yes, Jimmy's always hurt. Jimmy's also not great, and they look at this kid as a potential to be great. Do you think, and this is something that we're going to talk about for years, so let me ask you quickly, and then we'll get to Santi's 3 stars, if he still has a voice. That is, do you believe that at the end of the day, we will look back and say the Jets, they got it right with Zach Wilson, or they should have taken Lance, or they should have taken Fields?
I will say that they will look back and say they should have taken Trey Lance.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why Kyle Shanahan was throwing up that Mac Jones smokescreen. I'll leave it at that.
All right. He'll leave it at that. Santi, 3 stars, a go.
Today's 3 stars of DCR. Number 3.
All right. Number 3 is going to go to the Giants. Everyone loves a good training camp brawl. Maybe not so much the players after what went down. Guys, by the way, did you know Jason Garrett was wearing a t-shirt yesterday that said fight on it? It was a mantra that he had when coaching the Cowboys. It used to be a sign, t-shirts everywhere down in Dallas. Maybe he brought that mentality up here with him. Who knows?
Number 2.
But did you have a reaction, Dave? I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying maybe he did. As long as no one gets hurt, I'm fine with a little fist.
Keep your quarterback out from under the pile. Number 2 is going to go to Versus. The Warlocks, Bomb Squad, D-Block, whatever you want to call them, the Locks win. They dominated Dipset, but it's a win not just for the Locks. It's a win for the city, and it's also a win for the show because we brought it into the program today, played it on all the bump backs, and Dave... who Jada Kiss's tunes, which brings me to
number 1.
Dave Rothenberg, welcome back. You kept up on the sports while you were on vacation in Bougie Lake, George. Take that, RJ. But I'm proud of you, and welcome home.
Well, thank you for that. I don't know where you get Bougie Lake George. Lake George is not bougie.
Did you not?
He was in the bougie section of Lake George.
We stayed in the bougie section, but Lake George, we stayed in Bolton Landing, but Lake George is not bougie. And I'm still taken aback that RJ, before the show, says to me, where are you? What do I need to fill you in on the world of sports? Because I know you've been away.
Actually, that reminds me. Did you see that the rest stops were renamed in New Jersey?
We'll get into that tomorrow. I mean, some of them, some of them fine, but some of them, I think that there are a couple that I could have gotten over some of the people that in fact did.
Wow.
Renan tweets that Kenny Golladay injury does not seem serious, which is good news for the Giants. It's Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's Rothenberg, Canty, and everybody on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.